This is Infection, the H1Z1 podcast, recorded live on Tuesday, January 20th, 2015, Episode 1. Hey everybody, welcome to Infection, the H1Z1 podcast. Infection is your source for the latest information on H1Z1. We bring you the latest news, change logs, developments, strategies, speculations, and much more each and every week right here on Infection, infectionpodcast.com. My name is Nick Craig. At Gamecast Live is my Twitter, and this is Infection. But I'm not alone, and I won't be alone. Joining me every week, Brian Aldridge. Brian, how are you doing?
Yes. I'm doing wonderful. If you want to find me, you can go ahead and go to on Twitter, Boise Computer, or Google Plus, of course, is probably the easiest. Just search for Google /+ Brian Aldridge. They have those nice links that take you right to the Google Plus page.
Yeah, and if you're on our website, infectionpodcast.com, there's a hosts page where you can get all of our social links. Brian's got his LinkedIn on there. You know, he's really going all out. Over there with the social media stuff, so you can get all of that there. But this is Infection. I want to thank everybody for joining us live in the Twitch chat room. We do the show live every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you're listening to the audio version of this after the fact, you can check it out Tuesdays or on our YouTube channel. So this is Infection, and without further ado, Brian, I think let's initial reactions of the game. We'll get into the change logs in a little bit, but initial reactions, what are you thinking of H1Z1 so far?
All right, so start day one. I mean, I message you and I pretty much say, hey, have you gotten the game? I saw that you look like you purchased it on Steam. And so I message you asking, well, should I get this? And I just said, all right, I'll buy this game. And of course, the servers are down. Just we're not getting on, and I spend I think it was till 4:30 a.m. trying to get on the servers that first day. And so I was thinking, man, this I was having that buyer's regret of, oh man, this the fact that you can't get it on a server for the first is 8 hours, I think.
Yeah,
was not good. But I've been really happy with after that first day, they started putting out some patches for those major bugs, and come today, I mean, it's very playable. So I'm really happy that in a couple days, they've had awesome progression with as far as updates and stability on the servers.
Yeah, and this game launched, was it Thursday or Friday? I think it was Thursday at 5 o'clock Eastern.
Yes.
So the game has been already less than a week. And like you said, I'm very happy with it within the first week.
I mean, everybody compares this to DayZ, and they're like, oh, it's because right now for the original DayZ, I think it's very close depending on what mods and everything are on the server. But the experience for me kind of feels similar to the original DayZ. But I think if you look at you've played the new DayZ, I mean, how long that's been in a year development at least?
Yeah, almost that.
Is it at the level that this is now? With H1Z1?
I believe on the standalone, I still don't think there's vehicles on the DayZ standalone, which is something that already on the H1Z1 was incorporated from day one. Yeah. So there's that. The weapons are kind of far and few in between on H1Z1. They seem to be a little more plentiful in DayZ, but some of those loot things which were addressed in the patch that came out today, hopefully we'll fix that and make this pretty close to it, almost a complete playable. It's pretty playable now, I must say.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get into some of the change logs, but I think them fixing the loot, because it seems like you'd almost have to see something sitting on top of a desk, or it didn't seem like, and I think that was addressed in this patch, but it seemed like things had to be sitting on top of something for them to spawn. And I think that's why we had such a hard time just going through buildings. You feel like you're opening up drawers and not finding anything. That seems like there's a reason that's more of a bug, not because they just didn't put things in the drawers.
Yeah, according to the patch notes for today, there was nothing spawning inside of containers, which it says containers. I assume that means containers, cabinets, refrigerators, stuff like that. but I didn't find.
Well, they have those chests as well, and I've never found anything inside of a chest. Uh-huh. So that's probably an indicator that things like that weren't actually spawning new items.
Yeah, which is good now, because there are a lot of. You go into a house, you can. The kitchen is full of counters. There's, you know, on an average kitchen, there's maybe three or four counters.
Yeah.
You go into the bedroom. There's normally there's some type of hutch or maybe something laying on the ground. There's a lot, definitely a lot of places for loot to be spawning in this game, which is really, really nice. And now, obviously, that it will be spawning inside of, you know, cabinets and refrigerators and stuff like that. Now that stuff will be spawning in there, it'll hopefully be a little bit easier to find some loot in it. And now you'll actually, you know, now I don't even check any cabinets because I knew for a fact there was nothing spawning.
And now that there's a possibility that there's going to be things in there, I think that they have that feature where you can step a certain place near the cabinet and then search all cabinets. Because mm-hmm. I mean, you got 5-6 sets of cabinets there that you would have to search individually. But you know, if there's a chance that you're searching 6 things at once, I think that people will start to really check the cabinets every time, because I think there's actually hope. And I haven't tried it. I'm hoping after this patch that we'll go in there and it won't be just because they've resetted the server enough times and people haven't checked it, that loot will actually come on a regular basis to where there's not, you know, if someone's passed through the area an hour ago, it seems like right before this patch, there was no chance that you'd get anything.
Yeah, and I was playing a little bit this morning, and I don't know when the last server reset was, but... you know, I didn't have a good luck finding stuff. I got a bow and arrow. That was because I killed somebody. But quickly, I want to get into this. We're recording this 7 o'clock Eastern, and the H1Z1 servers were supposed to go down at 2 p.m. Pacific and be back up at 4 p.m. Pacific, which would be 7 o'clock Eastern. And 6 minutes ago, from the H1Z1 game Twitter, they're saying the server should be back online in an hour or less. So this patch looks like, instead of being a 2-hour patch, will be more in the lines of a 3-hour patch, which I'm perfectly fine with. This patch was supposed to come out yesterday, but they said that they needed to do more testing, and I'm perfectly fine with that. I'm really happy with how involved they are with the community. The Sony Online reps are all over the subreddit, reddit.com/r/H1Z1. They're posting everything on there, so there's none of this, you know, privacy. We're trying to hide this stuff. We're trying to do these, you know, these secret updates. They are letting the community know every step of the way what's going on. Is it John Schmedley, I think is his name. He is just, he's on Twitter all the time updating people. You know, I see, or John Schmedley, they're on the West Coast. You know, I'll wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning and see that he tweeted, you know, 30 minutes ago. So they're, you know, the Sony Online team is working through the night. They're trying to get this stuff done. And, you know, so far I've been really happy with the way that they've been involving the community and letting people know what's going on.
Well, and he did say that those server admins there have been working 18-hour days. So, I mean, they're probably doing shifts to where they're constantly, you know, so they have a couple of server admins on site. And they have, I don't know if you saw, he put out a post. I think it was actually the H1Z1. Feed that put out a post that if you see someone you think is cheating, that you can send, there's a place where you can send a message now for hackers and they'll ban them.
Yeah.
So that was a huge complaint of DayZ. A lot of these online games, I mean, that kills the online games. I've always heard that, you know, other Sony online games have not had issues with hackers as much. It's not been a major problem. And so I think this is good that they're actually having a place that you can say, hey, I think this person is cheating. But everything's so new and buggy. I mean, how would you know? I mean, people drive into an arrow in a truck and a truck explodes. So realistically.
Yeah. And that's
not necessarily hacking. It could be a bug that the person is.
And that email is h1z1hacker@soe.sony.com. And that'll be in the show notes over on infectionpodcast.com. If you have, or if you see a hacker. Now, the reason I've seen people accusing other people of hacking is they kill somebody and they've got some insane amount, like, you know, like 1,000 shotgun slugs or something like that.
Yeah.
And that's the only time I've seen the hacking thing. But like you said, the game is so buggy right now, I don't see how you could possibly accuse anybody of hacking unless they've got, you know, such a huge amount of something in their inventory. because like you said, you're driving. You know, I was watching a Twitch streamer last night. He had like 35,000 people in his stream. There was like five guys in a pickup truck. They hit an arrow and blow up. It's like, you know, what do you do from here?
And that's the bug. Is it hacking if you go and just try to get arrows in the middle of the road so anyone that drives blows up their car? I mean, that's not hacking. That's taking advantage of the environment right now.
Yeah.
That's Sony's job to fix that.
Yeah, I saw a roadblock on the Reddit, I think it was yesterday or the day before, and it was across a main road, and it was just an arc of arrows. Now, Brian, compared to DayZ, you create a character and you can go on any server you want. With H1Z1, you create a character and you're linked to a certain server. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's really difficult right now to navigate through the servers or know. I mean, right now, they do have different rule sets, so they'll have PvE, PvP, and they have some special mode types of game servers where maybe headshots only. I think that's good, but I wish they had a favorite system because it's really difficult sometimes to remember, I really like this server, and right now they're just a bunch of names. I'd like it if they had a better filtering system, and I know they mentioned something about offline filtering for the servers, so perhaps this is what they're talking about. But having some sort of a favorites tab, and I mentioned to you earlier, it'd be really cool if they had a way that you could see if your friends were online on that server. The only thing is they all have different names, so kind of like what Blizzard does with an ID tag, you could say, all right, here's my friend, he is on this server under this name right now. So, but you could see that might get people to go and try to kill, you know, it could be a stalking tool as well. So I wonder if that's perhaps why they haven't done it yet.
Yeah, and even inside of Steam, I know when we first started playing, if I right-click on your name inside of Steam and it just says, you know, Brian is not on a server, even though you are. So,
yeah.
But then again, that might not be necessarily a good thing. I don't know what that trade-off is. Exactly. If you've got a famous Twitch streamer, this is a problem for these people. They're trying to stream the game. They're trying to have a good time, and it's like their thing is ruined by people joining their games and joining their servers and purposely just trying to kill them.
Well, and I think if you could come up with a mutual friendship system to where they have to approve your mm-hmm. friendship request, I think that may be the only way, because you know, some people on Twitch or YouTubers, as you said, they will get stalked and they'll never be left alone in game. If someone knows that they're online, they're going to log in immediately and search for them to either harass them or to kill them. So it would really take away from that experience.
Yeah, and honestly, it almost makes the game unfair for these people. Now, this is what they're signing up for. This is what they do. But I don't remember in DayZ how it worked with joining servers. I don't remember if you could join through the friends list or not, to be honest with you.
And I pretty much played all of the, not the standalone. I played the original and
the mod.
Yeah, the mod, the Arma 2 mod. And that one was pretty much you went on a server that somebody else owned. And that necessarily, to me, didn't necessarily seem as good because you could have, people would pay money and then they would have this decked out gear to start the game with. And so unless you joined a server, subscribed, or gave them a donation or whatever it needed to be, on that server you had a really tough time because they start out with ghillie suits, really nice guns, and then you're starting out with a knife maybe if you're lucky. But then you get servers where they have bicycles. I mean, it's that one got a little bit ridiculous. So I think that they need to take the best from the original DayZ, of ideas if they're going to take any ideas from that, and incorporate that, leaving out the stuff that just kind of, I guess, waters down the game or makes it to where it's not that competition and it's hard for a new person to start out.
Yeah, and somebody in chat is saying that in PlanetSide, which is another game that SOE does, they're saying that the friend request system is mutual. So if that's the case, then they already have experience.
That's probably what they'll incorporate.
Yeah, it should be something easier for them to incorporate. Now, there's been a lot of Sony's been taking a lot of fire for these airdrops because they they came out right out of the gate and kept saying, this is not going to be a pay to win. This is not going to be a pay to win. This is not going to be a pay to win. And as of right now, it appears to be a pay to win. I don't know what you think about this, Brian, but these airdrops are just are insane. Now, I know you're not guaranteed what you get in an airdrop. I watched a video on the subreddit earlier today of a guy killing like six people around an airdrop with just a bow and arrow.
Bow and arrow, yeah.
But, I mean, you're calling in these airdrops and you're getting an AR-15, ammo, food. Is this pay to win? This is not like Team Fortress 2.
I like that what they did with it, because it's not guaranteed. I mean, you could buy an airdrop and easily get it stolen from you. And those things, from what I know, do they include anything that's persistent in those as a possibility, or are they all one time you die and you lose it type of items?
I'm not sure, to be honest with you.
Because that's one thing I'm interested in, is if you get airdrops, are they going to, like, I got this shirt. It all does is changes the look of a shirt that I wear. And that was in a crate. Well, I don't know if in an airdrop, if you're going to get items that are reusable even after death. If they're all items that you die and you lose those items.
Yeah, I definitely think they're like that.
It's going to take away that incentive to buy a bunch, because they're $5 a piece right now. You know, that is pretty expensive. And the fact that you might not get it, I think that's really going to slow down the number of people buying these, because you'll have people that their job, you know, they've got guns and they're just going to sit there and hunt the people that have airdrops. I mean, then the people that aren't paying can really use this to their advantage.
Yeah, exactly. And some people are criticizing in chat saying that, you know, do we even play the game? And no, we do. We may not have all of our information straight, just like everybody else. We're trying to figure this stuff out as we go. The game's brand new. But I don't think that this is pay to win. I definitely agree. $5 is a lot to spend on these. I can't ever see myself dropping $5 down for this airdrop, because you're not even guaranteed it. So, I mean, I don't think I'm going to be doing any of these airdrops. I don't think I'm going to be buying them. I personally don't see myself doing it. I don't know about you.
Well, and see, one thing I'd like to see is some sort of a clan system. And I think that's where the friend system could help. If you could get it to where you could bring in a group of people like they do on some of the DayZ servers, and you guys can work together, not necessarily that you're all going to start out in the same area or have a base, but I think if you could get it to where, all right, you know, we're going to set up an airdrop. We're going to get it to where it's a kind of a clan activity to go out, protect the airdrop, people watch for people coming in and try to steal it, and that becomes somewhat of an activity. I think that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, and a lot of people in chat are agreeing with you and saying that this is more like clan activity stuff. Like, for you to really benefit from an airdrop, or for you to almost even guarantee an airdrop, you need to be with a group of people, so that, you know, you can have like a perimeter lockdown or whatever when you call that airdrop in. But the thing that I like about it is you can almost hear the plane from across the entire server. I don't know if that's a bug in the sound effect or the radius or whatever they're doing, but it's not a secret that you're calling in an airdrop. It is so blatantly obvious. It's a huge crate with, you know, red blinking lights, and the plane is making a whole lot of noise. I wasn't trying to say that the game is pay to win, but it was just something that I saw thrown around all over Reddit and everything like that. So,
well, and I think that the sound is somewhat messed up, and I'm hoping that that's something you're patching, because right now someone will be outside of a building, someone will be a fair distance away, and it sound-wise, it sounds like they're right next to you. And so that's been kind of a problem, because I had somebody who shot a bow and arrow the other way, but it sounded like they were shooting it right at me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm thinking they're shooting at me, so I shot them. You know, and that would have been avoided if the sound of the arrow didn't actually sound like it landed right next to me, even though they're shooting it the other direction. That seems to be a problem, and it's probably something similar, whatever that is happening with the airdrops as well. These planes, you can hear them from so far away, and you can chase them, and they don't. The sound of the plane doesn't differ that much when it's all the way across the map. Someone had mentioned that they don't think the map right now is big enough for clan activity, and I'm hoping that they're going to keep increasing the size of the map and not keep it right where it is now. I don't know if they're going to maybe incorporate different maps with different, you know, this may be the first map, and maybe they'll incorporate different types of maps for different types of gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go to the northwest of the map, there's a blocked off tunnel that has a bunch of rocks in it. It is possible that will be a way to get to another map. You know, if they're worried about having a map that's too large to where it starts to cause performance problems, perhaps that'll be their transition system. You know, you drive through a tunnel and then it takes you to a whole other map. So there may be a lot more, and they may not just increase, because this one, there's mountains around. They probably won't increase this map, but I am guessing that they probably will make it to where there are maps hooked together that go to other areas with other towns.
Yeah, so there's the people talking in chat here, and I'm glad you guys are interacting with us. We appreciate the information. So there somebody's saying that the map's currently 8 kilometers by 8 kilometers, or actually that would be kilometers, and the engine has the ability to do 128 by 128. But like you said, I'm not sure that they'll increase the current size except for that tunnel. But
you know, some people are bringing up that /location command. To go in and kind of explain, you made a YouTube video on it, but do you want to explain a way that people can go in and actually see where they're at on a map?
Yeah, so there's this cool feature that's built into the game, and you access it by pressing M and then /LOC, and that gives you your X, Y, and Z coordinates. And there's if you go to infectionpodcast.com, and there's under the resources drop-down, there's a map, and that links to the H1Z1DB map. And you can throw in your X, Y, and Z coordinates into this search field on the right-hand side and figure out your location. We did a YouTube video on that, and somebody just posted that. It's the H1Z1DB.co.uk. And that's kind of like a nice thing for right now. I know myself, I don't really know the... I don't know the map yet. I'm, you know, as I play more, I'm starting to learn and everything. But, you know, right now I'm spawning somewhere and there's a bunch of buildings around me and I have absolutely no clue where I am. So for the time being, this /LOC thing is coming in, at least for me, pretty useful. I don't know about you or anybody else. But until I really understand the map and I can't just spawn in a random location and know where I am.
Well, and when I first spawned, it seemed like the map was so huge. I mean, you run into areas and things went, you'd be running through the forest forever. And as people get to know the map and people get to know the surroundings, the map's going to seem a lot smaller and smaller, you know, I think that at that point when everything seems familiar and you can just look around for a few minutes and know exactly where you're at without having to look at that map, I think that at that point, it's when it's going to be important for them to start incorporating that extra content, the extra maps. But yeah, I mean, finding that map, it makes it easier. Let's say you spawn and I spawn and we're on opposite sides of the map, it helps to know exactly where you're at, because you can say, okay, I hit this road, you know, I head north and then west, and it saves you from running forever and possibly never seeing each other.
Yeah, and there's some tips in chat. If people are saying, you know, when you have to tab out or whatever, you do Alt-Enter inside the game, which I didn't know about till Brian told me. Alt-Enter will run it in windowed mode, and it's nice because it's a windowed mode game where you don't have to set the resolution. You can drag the window size to whatever you want. Which is definitely nice. But, you know, one thing I always have with me, which if you've got this availability with you, have a tablet or a phone with you, and that H1Z1DB website is mobily responsive. So what I've been doing is I've got a Chromebook here, and I've been able to just keep the map open on here, type in my coordinates, and then I can navigate the map while I'm running around inside the game. So having a secondary device with you, like a tablet or a phone or even another laptop, is a nice idea, especially if you're trying to, you know, navigate the map and trying to figure out if you're going to meet up with somebody somewhere.
Yeah, and like Reckless said, for me, I've got multiple monitors, so you know, I'll hit M, type in the command, and then I try to type it before it disappears on the on the website, because that's the problem, is it doesn't stay.
Yeah.
You know, the force, you have to type it just about enough time and it starts to disappear.
What I normally do is I type that and then I take a picture of it with my phone, and then I'll copy it into a browser, because I just end up having to keep going back and forth to do that. Let's see. So it's nice. I'm pretty happy with it so far. Brian, you want to get into the change logs for today?
Yeah. So if we're looking at the January 20th change log, and they fixed quite a few things. So this will be in this patch that just was, I think, from what people are saying, it's just coming up now, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, they fixed a lot of issues with looting. So if you look at the issues with you never find something in a container, that supposedly is patched with this, because the things were not spawning from inside of containers. So if you think of chests, desks, a lot of these things, I assume, is what they're calling a container. That is something that you never would find anything in.
Yeah, and that was a little...
The only chance that you would find it is if you happen to be when this, maybe the server reset and all the spawn, the loot has reset.
Yeah, and that's something that's a little unclear to me. I don't think containers was the best word to use there, because I hope that means cabinets and everything too.
Yeah, because I've never found anything in a cabinet. Well, I think I found one water bottle in a cabinet.
Okay, but that may have been I've seen stuff placed in cabinets. Like I've seen like sticks and whatever.
It could
in
have
cabinets.
Been someone was picking something up and they were clearing up space as well.
So
another thing they fixed was the metal gates. People have been complaining that these wood gates and the wood huts are too weak, and so they've made it so that you actually can use metal gates. I took a screenshot and I think I put it up on our website, where they have this code system, so it's pretty much like a pin pad to be able to lock your gates and get into them later. And I don't know if anyone knows yet or not, but and maybe the chat room can help us out with this. But after you die, do those buildings disappear? That's one thing I was curious about.
Yeah, that was one thing we were trying to figure out, is if you build a base, does it despawn? But I don't know how that works, because think about it, Brian. If you and I both build a base and I died, it's like, is half of it going to despawn? I don't know how it's linking, or if it's something that stays permanent, and we're being corrected that everything is a container. So that's good. So now things will be spawning. Yeah, they don't disappear when you die. That's what we assume.
Okay, good. So that's what I was hoping, because I think it would really suck if you spent all this time building this really nice base, because I've seen some pretty impressive bases so far. And, you know, you die and instantly your base disappears. I can really see, and then we're talking about a clan type of environment. This is where I would really enjoy, is working together. You know, you do Minecraft and things like that. You know, people could really get into building these huge bases, and then people will stock the bases, defend the bases. I mean, this could turn into a very big thing, and this could be a major part of the game. I mean, you'll have the, if you think of it as maybe Mad Max, you know, and I don't even know if you remember that movie, but Mad Max, where they're all, you know, held up inside of this one base, I guess you could say. And you have all of the bandits outside. I mean, this kind of brings on the possibility of that type of a feeling of these people are protecting and trying to keep them from getting in and taking what they have.
Yeah. One suggestion we're just seeing in chat, which I think would be kind of cool, is if you could place something inside of your base that if you die, you'd spawn into, like in Minecraft, where you place a bed and you sleep in it. When you die, you respawn into that. And I think that would be a nice feature. As long as you could spawn it to the base. Now, another change log thing that they updated, which I saw a lot of people complaining about, is they added metal doors, because people were saying that the wooden doors, you know, you set up this shack or whatever, you put up a wooden door and somebody walks over with an axe, and within 45 seconds they've totally destroyed the door and now they're inside of your base. So they've added metal doors, and they've also made the structures more resistant to damage.
And they made it so it's
nice.
A recipe. Yeah, so you can go in there and actually build it. And right now, I think if you get metal, you can start melting. And I think that was another thing later in this, is you can melt down certain weapons and things to be able to get that metal to be able to produce things to make the door. So they're starting to make it so that it is possible, because it'd be very difficult to find enough metal bars to be able to, or and plate metal to be able to build those things right now. So they're making some ways that you can actually create enough to make these bases.
Yeah. Now, another change thing was, if you right-clicked on an item previously, you had the option to delete the item, which they got rid of. Yeah. I'm not, to be honest with you, I'm not sure why that was in there from the start. That just seemed like kind of like a
worried
weird...
about accidentally deleting something,
yeah,
meaning to drop it, and that'd be very easy to do, and there's no chance to pick it up at that point. So I think it was kind of pointless to have that in there.
Yeah, I wonder if that was just in there from. I think maybe that was just in there from testing, and they were trying to, you know, deal with items and whatever, and they just had the delete option there because it was easier to remove it for them. But I'm not sure why that made it into the game, because honestly, it really, I don't know, it wasn't really good. And then there's
now in here, people are in chat. We're talking about those floating arrows. So supposedly they're no longer going to destroy the buildings, they're no longer going to destroy a vehicle or stop the vehicle from moving.
Yeah. And they,
so
and
that
it says
supposedly
they,
is fixed with this patch.
And they say it won't be obstruction. So you now as a player, you know, if there was an arrow in the middle of the road, as a player, it
you
would
can drive through it without it hurting.
Yeah, you. And as a player, you would hit it and it would be like a wall. So now, according to this changelog, it won't act as an obstruction anymore, and you can walk through it and drive through it, and hopefully it won't blow up you and, you know, whoever else is in a vehicle.
Now, another thing they've done is they've made it so the buildings themselves are more indestructible.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of towards that, because that's the thing, is you could go up to a wood shack and just hit it with a hammer and or with an axe and destroy it pretty quickly. So I think that is going to be important to kind of build up that environment that we were talking about earlier. Another thing that they did was they made it so the items will stack. And I think that this is good, because we're running into issues of trying to stack. If you drag something, it wouldn't fill in to 100. Like if it were some, you had a bag that could hold 100, it wouldn't fill in those items and stack that item as much as possible to fit. You'd have to sit there and you couldn't really break up items. It made it very difficult to work with trying to import items into a limited inventory, because right now you don't have that many bags. You're trying to balance things out to fit things. And the fact that you couldn't break up stacks or combine stacks very easily, it made it difficult to fit, you know, something that was 95 space and then you had something that was 10, you couldn't break up that 10 to a 5 to be able to combine those two.
Yeah, and it's inventory management, if you didn't have a big bag, was really, really hard. So that's something that they fixed, the stacking. Now, one thing that I saw a recommendation for was the blueberries. The blueberries are, it's so plentiful. I don't see how you could possibly die of starvation in this game. There's so many blueberries.
Later, I mean, they may find that once they get all the looting fixed, that they want that to be more of an objective of going and finding food and water. But because the loot is so messed up, they almost have to have berries everywhere so people aren't just constantly dying from starvation and thirst.
Yeah, and then the one problem with the blueberries is you can only eat them one at a time. And I saw some suggestions reading some comments that saying, you know, when you get 10 blueberries, it should, you know, count as a, you know, a fistful of blueberries, and you can eat 10 at a time instead of, you know, eating, you know, 15 and you have to right click and click eat 15 times, which honestly just takes way too long. And if you're in, you know, if you're in the middle of a town or whatever, eating blueberries may not be the safest thing to do because it takes so long to eat them. So that would be a nice suggestion. And maybe that's what that's something they added with the inventory thing there.
Now, someone in chat was asking, how can I get H1Z1? And so right now, H1Z1 is available in early access. And so they're offering it to where you can buy the first one for $20, or you can buy a premium version for, was it $40?
Yeah, I believe
but
so.
But that is something that's only for now. It is not required later. Once they release the game publicly, this will be a free-to-play game. And so I don't know if we're going to get something later. Right now, I don't feel like $20 in that one crate I got is really, really worth the $20 I paid. The game to me is worth $20. I mean, they could get away with selling this game, I think, in the future rather than being free to play. But personally, I think that, you know, later being free to play, I hope that doesn't mess with the dynamics. Right now, we have a core set of people that are willing to pay, and there's probably not as many kids and, you know, just whatever's in there playing. And so I think we have, even though there's a lot of people just running around killing everyone, but I think you have a little bit different dynamic. I think once it goes truly free to play, it'll be interesting to see how that actually changes the type of players that you run into.
Yeah, and that's an interesting point, because the Arma 2 was, I want to say, like $40 with the Arma 2 and then the Arma 2 Operation Arrowhead, and then the standalone was like $20 or something like that. And that's interesting. You had a core group of people that were really dedicated towards these zombie survival games, buying into this. You know, it wasn't free to play. Not anybody could just download it on Steam. So that's interesting. And honestly, I didn't think about that. How will the player base change? Obviously, $20 isn't a lot for most people. If
it's
you're
not
really,
a huge amount of money, but
yeah, if you're
it's enough so that the 12-year-olds aren't going to be buying, you know, without permission from their parents, aren't going to be getting this game.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe right now we have more of an adult crowd than what we're going to have when this actually goes free to play.
Yeah, and something interesting that, Brian, that both of us have noticed in, you know, I think I started noticing it about 2 days ago, was it seems like every time I spawn now and I see somebody, and I'd be interested in what the chat thinks about this, I'm getting killed all the time on fresh spawns. And I don't really the game went from like, hey man, how you doing? I'm just going to go look in this building. All right, I'm going to go look in this building. To now, you see anybody with a bow is just it like instantly killing on sight. And I really don't understand that thus far in the game. You know, I'm a fresh spawn. I'm standing in the middle of the woods and you're shooting an arrow at me. I don't really understand it now.
Well, and that's where I'm hoping that, because that could be a good thing in the end, if we can kind of promote that clan type of activity of we found some good guys here, and that's where they could incorporate that friend list. That will cause those people that are good guys to gravitate together, and then it'll cause those people that are the psychos and the people that are just looking to kill everyone. It's going to cause them to gravitate together and hunt people. So I think that could really promote that clan type of feeling. And all right, I'm going to come out and I'm going to escort you. I'm going to protect you. We're going to work together, because whenever I find someone that I feel like I can trust in the game, I say, hey, you mind if I run with you for a bit? And that makes a big difference. And I think that because you have those people that are just so willing to kill you at the drop of a hat, versus once in a while you run into people that just enjoy maybe the crafting. They want to figure out, explore the game. They want to figure out, you know, what new things are there, and they're not necessarily just out there looking to kill someone. So I think that this could really promote and could lead to just an awesome game, and that's what I'm hoping for. I hope they keep working it and tuning it to where it maybe does become, and that's what the original DayZ, you get a lot of people that just work together, play together all the time, and they get to know each other. Maybe you kind of build the same type of camaraderie in this game.
Yeah, and a lot of people in chat are saying, you know, I don't kill on sight unless people attack me or whatever else. And I'm the exact same way, but I'm just noticing now, as in the beginning of the game, I want to say the first like 2 or 3 days, people weren't just killing me right away. People spawn in a similar spot, and it's pretty obvious when somebody's a fresh spawn. They don't have a backpack, they don't have a hat, and they're holding their fists up. It's pretty easy to tell. And if they're standing in the middle of the woods, they're most likely not. They're most likely not having anything. They're most likely not doing anything. They're probably a fresh spawn a majority of the time. So I don't understand this notion of just, you know, KOSing everybody you see in the woods if you have a bow and arrow. It's just annoying, frankly.
Well, and we had it to where we had logged out outside of a town next to the lake in just some random place. And so I log in, you know, it takes first 15 minutes to log in. And then when I spawn, I've got somebody punching me in the back of the head. And they've been punching me for a little bit before my character is actually able to see and I'm able to move around. And to me, this was very frustrating because, you know, they need to make it to where when I spawn, they don't see me and they don't know that I'm coming until I actually have the ability to move. And I don't know if that's a bug. I don't know how long I was there, you know, spawning before I actually realized that I was able to go anywhere. But, you know, I had a couple of seconds before I was dead after spawning. And that was pretty frustrating. You know, if that's a bug, that's something I think they need to fix.
Yeah, definitely. And that I wonder, your character must spawn in, you know, as
there must be at least 10 seconds, you know, for him to kill me, you know, 5 to 10 second window there.
Yeah.
I don't know how much time it took him to see me and then run up to me as well. So it may be even longer than that.
So it seems like as you log in, you know, at least with me, you sit in the queue or whatever before you get into the server. And then right as that screen changes, it's almost like your body starts appearing inside the game, even though you're not really in the game yet. And that's definitely something they have to fix, because it's impossible to fight if you're not really in the game, and you're going to get killed almost every time. You know, that's something that definitely needs to be fixed as well.
Well, and if you look at the list of this whole change log for this last one is huge, and that for me is very promising, because you hate to see a game that just gets stagnant. You know, I'm sure people that go and look at Daisy Standalone,
mm-hmm.
they get so frustrated because nothing ever changes. You'll be like, oh, you know, we added this one small thing, this cosmetic thing, but the gameplay isn't being fixed.
Yeah.
Right. In here, the gameplay is being fixed. Things that are game breaking or things that are just annoyances are being fixed within days. And so if they continue this pace and they continue to fix these problems and maybe not fix people's frustrations of, okay, people are killing me, you know, constantly, I don't think they need to adjust gameplay necessarily to fix that, because that may encourage the environment and the gameplay styles to change. That may not be a bug. That may not be something they need to fix. But these things with the floating arrows, loot not being there, these are the things that they need to fix, and they are fixing those. And I haven't seen them really fixing things that are, you know, nerfing the play.
Yeah.
And that would make me worry if they're simplifying. I used to be a big WoW guy, and it seems like with WoW, it used to be very difficult, and that was the benefit of it. You know, to get to that top level, it was a thing that was very difficult. And then it became something to where it was so casual that to me it became not much fun anymore. So I think if they can keep that to where it's difficult, and it can be whatever you make it. I mean, in WoW, people can run around and they can gather materials and do in craft, and if that's what they want to do, but you could take it to another level, and it'll be interesting to see if they can take this game to that next level, to where there is raiding, there is, because they keep promising this in other games, but it's very difficult to deliver it. And this game, it could almost turn into that, to where it could be huge. And I don't want to be a fanboy about this game, and I understand that it may end up being a flop. A year later, we may be saying, "Oh, this game sucks." Kind of like what they're doing with Daisy Standalone. But I do see the potential there, and I do see the developers really putting time into it. So I'm hoping that this actually continues to move in this way and becomes that game that everybody loves.
Yeah, and the one thing that I saw a lot of criticism of, people were saying, you know, why are you buying into another early access zombie game? Did you not learn from DayZ? This is totally different from DayZ. DayZ was Bohemia Interactive and Rocket. This is Sony Online Entertainment. I mean, this is not, you know, one guy and a small development team. This is Sony Online Entertainment. This is the Planetside people. I don't see them totally dropping the ball with this, with a game like that. It's way too negative press for them. They'll never live it down on the internet. It just doesn't seem like something that they could, Sony could afford to have happen.
I haven't seen them go all in on a game like this for a while. I mean, they are all in on this game, and I think that's really good. I mean, they're a huge company. They put out some really good games in the past. And so, you know, if you look at EverQuest, I mean, I was an early EverQuest guy, and that game for its time was huge. I mean, that was the predecessor to WoW. That laid all the groundwork. And so that's what, you know, maybe this is something similar. You know, they're going all in because maybe they see that potential of this creating a whole new type of gameplay.
Yeah, and you know, I wonder how long this rapid development, at some point, we will hit
it's going to have to go into maintain.
At some point, we're going to hit a plateau where we're not, I mean, we're seeing rapid development right now within this first week. Rapid development. They're doing stuff all the time, and I wonder how long it is before we see more of a plateau and, you know, weekly updates where things are getting fixed. But, you know, honestly, like we were saying at the beginning, this game is very playable right now. It's not totally broken like it was 4 days ago. It's a very playable game. Brian and I were able to get on a server, find each other, and walk around for a period of time, and it wasn't that big of a deal. We were able to loot buildings and all that stuff. So I'm very happy with
someone actually mentioned before that there was the PvE servers. You know, and that could kind of be its own thing, right? For people that want to do the crafting and want to build a base and just kind of hang out. But, yeah, I mean, we were able to get, other than being killed and then you're spawning on a totally different side of the base, on a PvP server, you know, it is very playable to where you're not getting as much frustrated that you got kicked out because of a bug and then all of a sudden it spawned you somewhere else. It's not those kind of bugs. The game is playable. You go in, you can play for an hour, and, you know, I got kicked out once, I think.
Yeah,
but generally,
that was a game crash, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it was the game crash. It wasn't necessarily the servers. It was something on my side, probably.
Yeah, and I must say, after that first day, the servers have been, in my opinion, very reliable. I haven't been. I have not gotten kicked from a server once after joining it. I like that they're scheduling their downtime, so they're saying, all right, the servers will be down for the next 2.5-3 hours, and they're not just pulling them down. And again, that's just back to this, you know, this whole development thing. Still no update on the H1Z1 game Twitter. It's at H1Z1 game. If the servers are back up, at the last tweet was 46 minutes ago, saying that they should be back up within the hour. So we're currently people in chat.
Well,
are
and
asking,
someone said something about how Schmedley is constantly putting these updates out, and that's something for me. And they say, you know, his tweets are mostly honest. It's not been just a, you know, hey, you know, this is a great game. He's actually tweeting, hey, you know, we understand that this patch didn't come out as quickly. We're fixing these extra things. He's actually giving details about what they're doing. And as a nerd, for me, that I appreciate that. You know, I want to hear, all right, we had an issue with a server and it didn't roll out as expected. You know, we're looking an hour out.
Yeah.
That to me means something rather than saying, oh, it'll come soon. You know, he's just giving constant tweets saying, oh, we see this bug, we're fixing it. Oh, here's some things that we're most likely going to put out in the next day patch. You know, he's giving you all that information. And I think that for him and the type of crowd he's dealing with of people that pre-purchased this game, that's a smart move on his part.
Yeah, and I definitely think that constant information to the fan base is holding people at ease. You know, it's not something where I'm like, God, when is this game going to be up? I know when it's going to be up. They publicize this stuff. And that's just part of this, you know, them being so, you know, involved in their fan base and doing everything else. It's really, really nice that I can know when this game is going to be back up.
Well, and then the fact that they offered a full refund for the people that bought it first day. That is one way to take care of those haters, to say, oh, I bought this game and I totally regret it. Well, if you totally regret that you bought the game, then why do you still have it right now? They offered you a full refund.
Yeah.
You know, anyone that has the game right now, it's because they want to play it or they hope that it's actually going somewhere. And so I think for him, no one can say that they're stuck owning this game that doesn't want to have it. Because if you don't want it, get your refund now. You won't have access to it in early access. You know, that is your problem. So I think that was a really smart move. So far, they're handling all of these haters in the best way possible. And personally, I hope it continues, you know, to where they keep dealing with it in this way. As you said, constantly putting these updates out, constantly putting these tweets out until the game is stable enough to where people aren't worried about it anymore.
Yeah. And the thing is, the PC fan base is brutal. They tear games, developers, they tear everything apart. And H1Z1 has handled this extremely well. And I don't understand these people wanting a refund. You knew what you were getting into. This is an early access game. Sony stated this publicly, what this game was going to be. I don't even think I don't think they should have offered a refund, because people know what this is. It's an early access game. Of course it doesn't work the first day. That's what you're signing up for. That's what you're getting into when you spend $20 on a game.
I think anyone that would have taken advantage of that first day, I think the next day they'd be regretting it. Once they see the stable gameplay, you know, a week later, they're going to see all these people that are putting out videos, having a great time. And and they're sitting there without that, they're probably going to repurchase it at that point. I wonder how many of the half percent that get a refund in a week are actually going to rebuy the game.
Yeah, and that's...
Or perhaps some people bought the $40 version and realized, well, I'm not really getting that much to make $20 worth. You know, that could be another possibility, that some of those refunds are people that decided, all right, I'm going to get a refund on the $40, I'm going to buy the $20 one. You know, for me, those extra airdrops, those extra specialized gameplays or game types are not that important.
Yeah, so that's definitely the refund thing. I don't think Sony should have offered it, to be honest with you. I just think it was something where people should have known what they were getting into.
So now one bug that we ran into that was crashing me out early on was the picking up berries. The berry spam, I think is what they were calling it.
Uh-huh.
Did you run into that very much?
Yeah, that berry spam thing was...
And everything would lock up and stop?
Yeah, the original, like the first or second day, when you went to pick up berries, they weren't, the bushes weren't despawning. So you could literally just run and the bushes weren't leaving at all. So that was like a huge problem. And they actually, in this most recent update, for some of the berries, you would have to crouch to get to the berry trees, which was a problem. And in this most recent update, they said they fixed that. And now if you're standing, you should be able to get any berries you want or anything like that. So the berry spam thing was...
That was more of an annoyance. But I think it is cool, you know, that a small thing like that, they're getting fixed in this. And those are things that people notice.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
I noticed that, okay, for some reason I can't pick up this bush, I picked it up. Or on that first day, you know, I was streaming live on Twitch, and all of a sudden the game, nothing is responding anymore. It's because I kept hitting E and trying to pick up the berries, and then it just lagged out. So those things definitely made the game more playable, because those are things that people are doing. You know, those are the things that they really need to fix first.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, another thing that they talked about is some larger items like the machetes and AR-15s now yield more metal bars when melted in a furnace. So I haven't found a furnace yet, or, you know, I haven't figured out how to build a furnace. But, you know, these are the type of things that they're fixing for the future. Realistically, you know, where are these things? You know, I've been wondering, there's so many crafting recipes out there. I haven't run into the... I haven't run into a lot of these materials. I assume they're all in the game already. Are they in special areas? Is it so rare that you just happen to come upon them every once in a while? You know, that's one thing I'm kind of curious about, is where is this going to go as far as all these crafting materials? Where are they going to come from?
Yeah, and that's just something that I'm glad that they incorporated all that stuff into the game, but it's stuff that really isn't, at least I haven't seen yet. And obviously... You know, Brian and I have not been in a situation yet where we're driving around a car in a city and you know, we're packing heat with, you know, five other guys. We have just been playing the game as just like regular people. Honestly, I don't think we've had any great luck with, you know, oh man, there's a car here, let's pick that up, or, you know, there's a gun lying on the side of the road.
Yeah, I found a car, but then, you know, it's short of battery and it's always short something, and so... That's the thing, is picking up those batteries and picking up these things that are bigger than your bags. It takes some time. And so I think that as people get more used to the game and they get it to where they're living for a day at a time, 2 days at a time, and not crashing, or, you know, it's not killing, the environment's not killing them, you'll actually be able to build up all these things and carry around maybe those spare parts and get them to the cars. And, you know, I've seen a couple of people driving, but it's pretty rare right now. I've seen a couple people with guns, but it's still pretty rare right now. And so I haven't seen a person that's decked out. I've seen some people with like military backpacks, a helmet, and an AR-15. But that's been two people total that are decked out like that I've seen. So it's not very common yet. I'm kind of looking forward to how difficult is it going to be to actually get those things and then maintain them? Because as people were saying before, you instantly become a target. The second you put a backpack on, the second you're carrying around some nice things, everyone is trying to kill you.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's going to be kind of cool. You know, the people like us that normally wouldn't go and attack people, how much of a temptation is there going to be to then go say, I really want to kill that person? Or do you want to group up with that person and they protect you? I mean, there's a bunch of ways you can play this.
Yeah, and that's, you know, something, and it seems like the key to success so far is a group of people. I haven't seen a lot of people, and personally myself, I haven't had great success running solo. Even with Brian and I together, just two people, I felt like the game was so much better because, you know, a team of two, you know, you got two guys together, somebody's walking up with an arrow, this guy's not going to be able to kill both of us with an arrow. So, you know, you almost have power in numbers, at least at this point, which is nice, so... Definitely.
Well, I think we had that time when we went into that town and we had people sizing us up. And you go in there and you have two guys run up to you. And they're, if it would have been just you or just me, I'm sure they would have killed you on sight.
Without a doubt.
But just the fact, just the fact that there were two of us, it caused them to say, okay, well, I'm not sure. You know, let's hold off. And we were able to walk away from it.
Yeah. And that's definitely something that seems to be the way to go at this point, is getting all of that, or at least trying to find people to play with, which, you know, I've got probably 25 friends on Steam that have the game. If I needed to team up with people, I definitely could, but you're most likely going to have success if you're with, you know, two or three or four people than if you're just running solo, because that the power in numbers. You're not going to get, you know, you may get a group of people that come up to you, but if you're in a team of four, you know, three guys have a bow and arrow and one guy's got a pistol, I don't think you're going to run into as many problems if you're the single guy with a bow and arrow. So, you know, that's definitely something to at least try to get other people to play with. Even if you can make friends in the game, you know, that was a big thing on DayZ. I made friends. I don't know about you, Brian, but I made friends inside the game, and it was like, hey, I can, you know, for the most part, I can trust this guy. And, you know, majority of the time, I wasn't totally getting screwed by these random people.
Well, and do you think that possibly they're going to create maybe side chat channels? Because that's one thing, if I remember correctly, in DayZ, on some of them, they had it to where you could pretty much chat. And there's not really a chat system here. You can do voice, but there's not a global chat. And there's not channels. So, you know, would it be possible that if they create a friend system or that type of a clan system, that the clan, all it really is a dedicated chat channel for this group of people so that they can quietly communicate with each other and say, hey, I'm over here. Do you want to come and meet me? Because other than us jumping on TeamSpeak or communicating through some other program, there's not really a way. Once you despawn, once you die, you guys are separated.
Exactly.
There's not an easy way to communicate again. So if you find somebody that you really enjoy playing with, aside from giving them personal information outside of the game or saying, hey, come jump on my TeamSpeak server, there's not necessarily a way to rejoin up with that person again. Because sure, they have the same name if they didn't create a new character, but you're going to have to run around for a long time to be able to run into that person again.
Now, real quickly, Brian, I know we're about hitting our time limit here. What are your thoughts on having player names above the players? That's something that DayZ didn't have. And honestly, I'm not sure how I feel about, you know, me being walking up to somebody and seeing their name. I think that makes betrayal a lot worse because if, you know, I see that, you know, XX 360 no scope XX kills me. I can hunt him down. It's not hard. I can't be like, oh, he was wearing, you know, a red baseball cap and he had a blue backpack on. If I go to somewhere similar to where he killed me, I can see his name and be like, you know, screw you, buddy. I'm taking you on here. I know this is you. What are your thoughts on the whole name system thing?
Well, I think you almost have to do it right now because everybody looks so similar. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody's so fresh spawned that you could have two people standing next to each other and you can't tell the difference between them. I ran into a problem where I was with a group of people. Some person ran in the middle and I'm trying to shoot him with an arrow. Well, there would be a point where these guys are running around in circles just trying to punch each other to where I would totally lose track of which one was which and shoot the wrong one if it weren't for those names.
Okay.
So, you know, I think that they have to have something. You know, people are talking about maybe having a, you know, some sort of a thing where you can link up in Steam, you know, and be able to add friends or whatever. But I think that there's a good reason to have that name indicator above them, just so even if you just know, oh, I've run into this person before, because otherwise, how would you know? I mean, they constantly are changing the way they look as they respawn. I mean, you would just, I think you have to have it in this game unless they come up with some other way to identify people.
Yeah. Because, you know, previously in like DayZ, if you had a clan or whatever, and I know we're doing a lot of comparison to DayZ because that's honestly, you know, the only other thing we've seen here. But the big thing in DayZ was you'd be like, all right, we're the, you know, everybody in our clan's got a biker helmet on. Or, you know, a funny thing was, you know, everybody in our clan doesn't wear pants. So, you know, there was ways to customize your character. So you'd be like, all right, if you see somebody with pants on, kill them on sight. And that's obviously player customization stuff that they may add later on in the game, which could involve or which could possibly lead to.
Yeah, what about like patches or banners or, you know, they've got things in WoW and games like that where you have your guild crest. You know, if they could come up with something where you have maybe on your sleeve, you have a patch that's an affiliation, or maybe on your back, you have the option of putting an affiliation so you know, okay, this person is someone, and it's not something that a person can just get. It has to be given.
Yeah, and there's actually a cool...
That would be something they could do.
Yeah, there's a cool thing in chat here. Daisy Bien is saying, what if there is a way to craft like a radio or a walkie-talkie, and then you and a friend could chat over that system? That's an interesting concept as well. I know that there is a radio tower on there to be used as like some type of repeater or something. But that's an interesting idea, possibly a walkie-talkie system.
Yeah, what if you could pick up walkie-talkies and then you could have kind of like the doors have those codes. Mm-hmm. You could have channels.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and you say, okay, let's tune to this channel and then we can communicate as long as the people are on the same channel. But there's always the option that someone might be able to, if they're just sitting there cruising channels, there's a possibility that someone else
could
will
be
able to listen in on you. I mean, that's one of those things that just adds to the gameplay that if they do it right, it could be something really cool.
Yeah, and people are saying, well, once you die, your walkie-talkie is gone. And, you know, that's all things to think about. It depends how plentiful these walkie-talkies are and how hard they are to craft. If it's something that's pretty easy to craft, you know, just like a battery and some scrap metal and, you know, like a paperclip, and now you've got a walkie-talkie. That may be,
or maybe you
easy.
Need to get into the police station. You know, they spawn in the police station or something. Mm-hmm. To where there's a procedure like, okay, let's get the walkie-talkie. There's certain things you have to do to get it. It's just not in some random cabin in the woods.
Yeah.
You know, there's actually a method in a place that you get these walkie-talkies. You can loot walkie-talkies and give them away to your friends. You know, they could create a system. I mean, these are all things that, you know, I guess on Reddit, you could put some of these ideas on Reddit because it seems like they listen to some of these ideas. You know, for me, this sounds like a cool idea. And I think it would promote that type of group play to where as long as you guys are on, you have a key that's tied to the walkie-talkie, you can all voice chat to a whole server on that channel.
Yeah, and the other thing you're saying that they do a lot with the Reddit stuff, they were even asking today, they were trying to name 200 new EU servers, and yeah. A guy flat out from Sony Online put, I need 200 names for EU servers, keep them short, keep them to two words at a max, it hit me. And that's just kind of cool. Yeah. That they're totally taking fan suggestions from the game and trying to incorporate that stuff, which I really like.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing is, well, that kind of gave me a tip towards, okay, 200 EU servers. There's got to be at least 200 US servers. And I was telling you that really means they need to come up with some sort of a filtering sorting system because it's going to be a pain to sort through 200 servers. You know, they're going to have to come up with some way to manage all of those servers and not just have a huge list of names. And you'll be more likely to become tied. You know, they don't want you creating an account, I'm sure, on every single server. Right now, you're kind of cruising servers, and you and I have found a server that we like.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, you know, people will find those favorites, and they'll always go back to those servers.
Yeah.
So, and I think that, you know, once the release happens, our servers, are they going to be rolled out? I mean, they can actually get rid of these servers? And we're going to have to start fresh. I'm kind of curious what they're going to do with the current servers, if they're going to maintain them in the list.
Yeah, and people, there was, in the changelog, it does mention that they're going to be doing some different sorting options with the server list. We're not sure what those are yet, but the one, you know, there's one thing. First of all, there's not even a reload button. And I found myself a lot of the time when the servers were kind of flaky, having to constantly just, you know, restart the game to get the server list to update. Brian was talking about a favorite system or seeing if your friends were on, stuff like that. So that may be in this new server sort, which is, it says blank, the additional server list sorting options are now available. Not sure what those are yet. They don't specify. But I could definitely see, you know, favorites, stuff like that being in this patch.
Yeah, and after this broadcast is done, I'm definitely going to go check it out. And, you know, that's the cool thing is having, I like beta things. You know, for me, I love Humble Bundles. I love getting into pre-access just because, you know, even if something's still being developed, I like to get in there and see the changes they make. And so I think this is cool that, you know, as they put out patches right now, what's every couple of days they're putting out a patch, and they're going to get to a patch weekly patch that they're doing. I think that it's, you know, this is great. You know, I love figuring out the differences, finding the bugs. You know, this is the kind of people that are in this game right now. You know, it really feeds to what we enjoy.
Yeah, and, you know, Brian, finishing out the show here, I mean, anything else before we end it here?
Well, you know, I would like to see, you know, we got a great group of people here that have showed up. Maybe we could find some people in game. You know, that whole clan concept, for me, that is just, I think that this where this game could go. And so I think building up a community of people that can play and enjoy playing together. You know, someone asked, what is TeamSpeak? And TeamSpeak is just a place where everybody can come and voice chat in a room. You know, we use it for raiding in WoW, and you can use it for all kinds of online games. But, you know, encourage building up those different communities and building up the people working together and that will really direct this game. I think if we do it early now in the gameplay and Sony realizes, hey, this is somewhere where it can go, you know, and start realizing that as an opportunity, for me, that's what I would like to see. So it'll be interesting to see as we do this podcast every week. Of course, this is episode one. As we do this podcast every week, seeing the changes that are incorporated and seeing how it affects us in gameplay as we go on week to week. I know I'm kind of excited to see that.
Yeah. So Brian Aldridge at Boise Computer on Twitter. Thank you very much. And, yep. You know, let's a few like housekeeping things here. Follow our Twitch channel. It's twitch.tv/infectionpodcast. We do more than just stream the podcast. Brian and I both have access, to this channel. So, you know, I was streaming on here a few days ago. Brian's got the availability to stream on here if he wants. So it's more than just the podcast on here. We're trying to build up, you know, a source for just everything H1Z1. You can also check out our website, infectionpodcast.com. And if you guys are interested in teaming up on a server or whatever, we could find a server that you guys, you know, that we all meet up on and then we play on stream or whatever. So we do the show weekly every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. That's the time we're going to go with right now. It's also available on iTunes as an audio podcast. So if you've got an iPhone or an Android phone in any podcast app, within the next few days, you should be able to search the Infection Podcast or Infection Podcast on iTunes or your podcast app and hopefully be able to download that there. And it's also going to be up on our YouTube channel, which we're going to have set up. YouTube changed their name system a little bit. So we're going to get infectionpodcast.com/YouTube set up, which will bring you to our YouTube channel if you want to watch this video. So I want to thank everybody for joining us this week for the first episode of the Infection, the H1Z1 podcast. I appreciate it, guys. It was a fun show, and we'll see you next week.
See y'all next week. Yep.